The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
It's Mike Helam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Hour number 3. Man, it's always funny how fast this goes, especially on a Friday. Getting ready for Martin Luther King Day weekend. The inauguration is coming up on Monday. So President Trump getting back in. But before that happens, we have got a big Supreme Court decision that came down today. And it looks like if you're a TikTok person, you may lose TikTok as of Sunday. Brad Young is on the phone with us right now, 97.1's chief legal analyst. Brad, how are you, sir?
Mike, it's a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
It is always good to see you. I don't remember the last time. I ran into you somewhere. I can't remember where it was we saw each other.
Yeah, you ran into me, and that's why I'm going to be suing you. But that's a whole other story.
Hey-o. You know, and that's why he's a successful attorney. You never miss an opportunity to make a commission.
You got it.
Hey, Jane was talking about this decision, and she was saying that she thought it was very unique that all of the justices agreed on this decision, and it's not something that you find every day.
No, it's not. And I even predicted right here on the Reardon Show after oral argument, I said this is going to be either a 9-0 or perhaps at worst a 7-2 decision. Because once you distill this down, Mike, and when you look at the issue of TikTok, everyone automatically thinks, hey, this is a free speech case, right? But it's not. And let me tell you why it's not even a free speech case. And then I'll talk about what the court decided.
Okay.
But a free speech case, it usually involves one person wants to say something, and because of the content of their speech, they're being prohibited from doing that. For example, all of the conservative posters on social media who were taken off of social media because of the content of their speech. That's quintessential First Amendment issues. But that's not what's happened on TikTok, because it doesn't matter if you're a progressive, if you're MAGA, if you're a libertarian, if you're a communist, a socialist, anything. It doesn't matter. There's no content restriction with this TikTok ban. And so really the proper analogy to the TikTok ban is, for example, laws that have been in place in the United States for over 100 years. Regarding that newspapers, TV stations, and radio stations cannot be owned by foreign companies. It doesn't have anything to do with the content of the speech. It has to do with ownership of the medium. And that's not a First Amendment issue.
Right.
So the court was 100% 9-0, all singing from the same hymnal here, talking about that this is not a First Amendment speech case. It's more about whether or not the government has the authority, if it identifies a national security risk related to a form of media, does the government have the right to require a foreign entity to sell that media to a U.S.-based domestic ownership group? And the answer to that was, again, 9-0, yes.
So they can sell it. And it, if I understand this correctly, is it, as of Sunday, if you are a carrier and you allow TikTok to continue to be accessed, for lack of a better term, that you can be fined for allowing that? Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, it's more complex than that, Mike. Let me break
it down. It's always more complex than that. So
let me break it down, because there's several different possible permutations here about what could happen. Let's just talk about the law, and then we'll talk about how it's implemented.
Okay.
First of all, under the TikTok law, as of Sunday, you cannot download. No one can download TikTok from the Apple Store, from Google Play, or for anything like Motorola phones or anything else. It's banned from being downloaded. Number two, could individuals still perhaps access it through the website? The answer to that is no, because websites are banned from allowing people to access TikTok in the United States. Number three, could someone use what's called a VPN, a virtual private network, to access TikTok after Sunday? Yes, because with a VPN, I use a VPN, you can designate where you want the VPN to look like it's coming from. So I could choose Bosnia as where my VPN is coming from, and I could still access TikTok on Monday, even from the United States.
Oh.
However, if you look at history as a guide, when India banned TikTok in 2020, TikTok instantly said, we're ceasing all access to the country, whether it's from a VPN or elsewhere. We're just going to shut it down.
So TikTok did that.
TikTok in and of itself did that, because their position was, if your country says they don't want it, we don't want you accessing it.
Okay.
And so they shut it down from India. But there's a greater issue here, Mike, that I think folks need to understand. It's always political. The Biden administration took the position yesterday that they would not be enforcing this law on Sunday when it goes into effect, because the Biden administration only has one day of jurisdiction over this law. They said, we're not going to do anything. We're going to leave it up to the Trump administration. So when Trump gets sworn in, he was initially against TikTok because it was dealing with China, infiltrating our phones and stealing our data.
Right.
But now that he's become a little more enamored with the ownership group of TikTok, in fact, the CEO of TikTok will be at the inauguration. he has signaled that he may not want to enforce this law either. So now you have this nebulous situation, Mike, where TikTok could say, well, if the federal government in the United States isn't going to enforce the law, we'll continue to allow people to access our content until such time as the federal branch of government decides to enforce the law. And that's a big question mark.
So Kevin O'Leary and a partner of his has an offer on the table of $20 billion cash to buy this. I'm assuming this deal isn't going to get done by Sunday, right? Because here we sit on Friday. It's a holiday weekend. I can't imagine this is going to get done by Sunday. So what happens to TikTok at that point? It just goes dark and then lingers, or what?
There's an easy answer to that one, Mike, and that's this. There is a safety valve provision within the law that allows the president to suspend enforcement for 270 days. If there is the potential for a sale to go forward.
Okay.
So under that 270-day unenforcement period, then TikTok would continue to be available and the sale would be discussed. Now, I personally, and again, it's not like I've got any inside knowledge here, but the value of TikTok is the algorithm. It's not the data. It's not the content. It's not even the access. It's the algorithm. And I personally do not believe that the Chinese communist masters over TikTok will sell TikTok with its algorithm. And if there is a sale without the algorithm, nobody wants to buy it. I mean, there's no value in TikTok unless you get that algorithm.
Okay.
So I'm skeptical that this is going to be sold. I could be wrong on that. I nailed the Supreme Court decision, what was going to happen there. I may not have such a good crystal ball on whether it gets sold or not, but my gut tells me it won't be sold.
So do you think that Trump will use a potential sale as a reason to go ahead and not enforce and put that 270 days into effect?
I do. And in fact, I think that's exactly what's going to happen on Monday, is that he's going to trigger that clause. He's going to postpone enforcement. Folks will probably still have access to TikTok unless TikTok itself pulls the plug, which I don't think they'll do. And then at this point, it's going to be looking for a potential buyer, number one. Also, Musk, I believe, is also a potential buyer. But number two, the other position here will be, will TikTok sell the algorithm? If the answer is no, then I don't believe anyone's going to want to buy TikTok unless the algorithm is included in the sale.
Now, does the ownership have to be a U.S. citizen?
I don't believe it's required to be a U.S. citizen. I believe the wording is the ownership must be based in the United States.
Because the reason I was asking that is the two people that we've talked about, you know, with Kevin O'Leary and Elon Musk, neither one of them are citizens, I don't think.
Right. But they're they are both.
They have U.S.-based companies.
Yes. They have U.S.-based companies. So yes. The whole thing is if you are a China-based company, China, by law, has access to all of your confidential private data, whether that's airplane manufacturers or whether it's social media content providers. And so that's the focus of the law, is to make sure that China does not have a backdoor into the phones of 170 million Americans.
Can I talk to you about something that is not TikTok related?
You know, you can talk to me about anything, Mike.
you know, good.
Whatever.
I've had these dreams lately. No, just
That's
kidding.
Right. I can do that.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Monday. What are you looking forward to the first day of the Trump administration? What's Brad's thing that you're like, this is going to be great?
Well, obviously, what Trump has to do is to keep his campaign promises. So the first day, you're going to see him emphasizing immigration reform, stopping the Swiss cheese of our southern border and even to some extent our northern border. And that's going to be the focus, at least publicly. Personally, what I'm more interested in is his deregulatory zeal. Because I deal with regulations all day long with my clients, and people have no understanding about how this regulatory state that comes from the federal government costs us all a fortune in what we pay for goods and services and products. And so I'm personally, what I'm going to be cheering about is deregulate the federal government. And he is going to be doing that. But I think the focus of the publicity will be him keeping campaign promises as it applies to the border.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, didn't he talk about last time he was in office, didn't he have a policy that was like to get one new regulation in, you had to get rid of like 5 or 10?
Well, actually, the rule was 2-1. And at the end of the Trump administration, it turned out to be like 30-1 is what he actually accomplished.
Okay? Wow.
But there are so many regulations. We have no idea how many regulations that come out every single day. You could do 1,000-1 and it would take decades to make an enormous difference. So that's what I'm looking forward to, because if you unleash the U.S. economy that's unburdened by regulatory strife, this economy would do what it last did in the 1950s. I mean, it would be on fire. We would conquer the world economically. That to me is a yes moment. All right. That's what gets my engines running.
You know, there are an awful lot of people that are starting to speculate about why the swearing in got moved indoors. And there are a number of people who've saying, you know, It's been cold before. They've had super cold. I mean, we lost a president because he got caught in the rain and got cold, got sick and died right after that, right?
Right.
So they're not looking for freezing rain that I know of in D.C. on Monday, but it's not going to be that cold that we haven't seen that before. Do you think this is more of a safety measure and why they're moving it to a different location and getting it out of being outside?
Well, no one's going to tell you that, all right, because you don't go out and broadcast what you think might happen.
Right.
But this is a candidate who had two unsuccessful assassination attempts against him during the campaign. That is not lost on the Secret Service. So by bringing it indoors, you exponentially improve the security portfolio around the president. And I do think that's the driving issue here is security.
I think that's kind of what a lot of us are thinking. And they're like, okay, that sounds like a good excuse. My favorite expression, a plausible deniability, right? So as an attorney, I know you'll appreciate that. So
absolutely.
I think that's probably where they're at. Brad Young, I appreciate the time, man. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Mike, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
It's always good to talk to people when you run into these legal discussions that have law degrees and know what they're saying as opposed to a communications degree.
Exactly. But he's good at both.
He is. He's really good at breaking that stuff down and helping people. I mean, remember, I'm from Northwest Arkansas. You got to dumb it down to make sure that I can understand all this stuff.
I don't think it's that bad.
Well, we are going to talk to Chad Perkins, who is the Speaker Pro Temp of the Missouri House on the other side. Bring it back to Missouri for just a little bit. So Mike Kehoe got sworn in on Monday, and the House had their first full week. And curious to talk to Chad. What does he think things are going to be like in the new legislature as we get in? My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. I do love that guitar riff. It is one of my favorites.
It's a great one.
It really is.
Can't go wrong with Coldplay.
It just smooths you right out. Welcome to Smooth Jazz Coldplay. Hey, my name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Mark Reardon today. We appreciate you making us a part of your Friday, kicking off the holiday weekend. Want to talk to the Speaker Pro Tem. Wow, did that just go away or was that just my headphones? That's just my headphones, isn't it? Are you hearing that too? Okay, so I don't know what that is, but something is going on with my... There we go. I think it's back now. That was weird. Okay.
Headphones sound a little weird there for a second, but we are...
It's the Chinese that
rolling.
Are getting into to my stuff. That's what's going on. Chad Perkins is joining us. He's the state representative from District 40, who is Bowling Green, Lincoln, Pike County, but he is also the Speaker Pro Temp of the Missouri House. Chad, how are you, sir?
Mike, the Chinese better enjoy that for another 72 hours because that nonsense comes to a stop pretty quick.
God willing, right? You never know.
Yes.
It's funny. I was listening to a book over the weekend. They were doing that whole thing of the Chinese are getting into our computers and they're tracing all of our steps and everything that we're doing. And then the TikTok stuff comes up and I'm like, you know, sometimes fiction follows reality. And that's just how it works out. So, hey, appreciate you taking some time. Appreciate your hospitality Monday up at the Capitol. How was Monday for you? What was your favorite part of Governor Kehoe getting sworn in?
You know, it was a good day. The building was full. There was an energy. I would hate to guess how many people came through the office. We had live music. We had food for lunch and dinner, just right in my suite, right? So just the whole place was just a terrific atmosphere.
Man, your place was rocking. It seemed like everybody was coming in and out of your office. You were like Grand Central Station.
You try to be hospitable, you know.
I thought you did a great job. Hey, so...
Thank you. I have a question for you.
Fire away.
I was listening, and it said, I live in Bowling Green. I'm on my way to Troy to the chamber banquet there tonight, right? But I was listening, and there was it said, this is a test of the emergency alert system. And then it was the Eagles playing, and I'm like, oh, so it's not that crazy loud beep that used to play like it used to be?
I guess not. I guess they've changed that.
No,
they don't do that anymore.
That's an improvement. That is an improvement.
You know, they're always changing things, and I think that's a Trump thing. They've already fixed the EAS. I'm just kidding.
That's Donald Trump's America right there, Mike.
That's how we're going to move going forward. Hey, so you guys did your first full week here. When did you first go back into session? That was last week, right?
Yeah, I guess. So I believe the first day of session, I think, was the 8th.
Okay.
It was the 8th. In fact, I'm certain it was because I know it was Elvis's birthday. So,
It's good to mark things by historical dates.
That's
hilarious.
That's right.
It's a city holiday in Memphis. I don't know if it is anywhere else. Maybe Mississippi. But that would be about it. So you guys started off, when you first went into session, you had a little bit of excitement that happened there with the speaker's race.
You know, honestly, nothing could be further from the truth, right? I mean, there was a little bit of excitement. I don't know, as much as 152 to 10 could possibly be, I suppose, right? I mean, it's like, it was anticlimactic.
It was one of the first times that I can remember of a speaker really having a challenge, especially in his own party. So that was something that was a little bit different.
A challenge, I suppose, as much as 152 to 10 is.
True.
And by the way, and the 10 includes himself. If you noticed, there's a tradition that speakers never vote for themselves in the state of Missouri, and John Patterson didn't, to keep it with tradition, but one of the 10 included Justin Sparks himself, so it was not much of a race.
But ever since then, it seems like things have been kind of cruising right along.
Well, sure. Absolutely. I mean, people talk about mandate, 152 to 10, and that's over 100 Republicans, right? Like more than 90% of every Republican voted for John Patterson. So, I mean, it won't be close. And people say, first, can I tell you what the dumbest word in the English language is?
By all means.
That word, rhino. Right? What a stupid term. Because anybody that says, you're a rhino, well, you know what? I think you are too. You know? I think you are too. So, I mean, it's just a stupid word.
We're just going to keep calling people names and see how things go. But, you know,
That's when you know you've lost the debate, right?
This is true. Well, so earlier today, when we were doing the Reardon Roundtable at 3 o'clock, we were talking a little bit about Monday and about Governor Kehoe getting sworn in. And I said, you know, my word for Monday that I felt all over the place throughout the Capitol was optimism. Because it just felt like everybody, I went over and watched him gavel in the Senate, which I went there to go do that because I had heard it was the only time in Missouri history that a lieutenant governor has gaveled in the Senate and then went outside and got sworn in. Mel Carnahan is the only other lieutenant governor who gaveled in the Senate and got sworn in as governor, but it was not the same day. So I wanted to go over and be a part of that. And it was really cool just hearing Republican and Democrat alike who were really talking about Governor Kehoe and his time in presiding over the Senate as lieutenant governor. And it just felt like for a little while, and it's the beginning, and it's a honeymoon, and I understand that. But there really felt like, for lack of a better term, a really kumbaya-type spirit. Hey, we're all good right now as we start. Is that same spirit prevailing in the House as well?
Well, at the moment, but that's going to come to it. That's going to come to an end pretty quickly, and I'll tell you why. Right, we're going to tackle crime in St. Louis. We're going to tackle Amendment 3 issues. We're going to tackle those things. Right, we're going to tackle that language about raising the minimum wage. We're going to tackle those things, and the honeymoon will be over. And it'll go back to being the same old partisan Jefferson City it always was. But we'll enjoy this honeymoon for the next, week or so until those bills start going to committee. And as soon as they do, the honeymoon is over.
So when you sit down and you talk with the speaker and you get with leadership in the House, how do you decide what your priorities are going to be and what you're going to tackle first?
It's almost twofold, right? So to be quite frank with you, the House priorities, and I think the Senate priorities both, are very similar to what the priorities of every conservative Missourian are. We're not pleased with the Amendment 3 that passed, right? And it passed very narrowly, but there was so much. It was the worst written amendment in Missouri history. I mean, I don't think most Missourians who even voted for it were aware of all the transgender issues that were inside of that. I don't think most Missourians were aware of there's really no limit to abortion. So you got a solid red state like Missouri that has potentially the most liberal abortion law in the country. One not passed by Jefferson City, but passed on the ballot, right? But I don't think most Missourians who voted for it voted for what they actually got. So I think when you put something more reasonable back on the ballot, Missourians are going to gravitate that way.
You know, I use the expression that, remember when Nancy Pelosi was talking about a bill that was going through the House way back when, and she said, we've got to pass it so we know what's in it. And I was like, I think that's kind of what happened with Amendment 3. I think it got passed because a lot of people, there was a lot on the ballot, a whole lot on the ballot. And I think a lot of people just got overwhelmed and they ran out of bandwidth. Speaking as a guy who works in Viber, right? So they ran out of bandwidth to be able to absorb everything that was going on. And they just focused on the headlines and the top wording that's there. And they didn't really dig any deeper. But to your point, now that it's passed, you're going to start finding out as this rolls out what's really in that bill, and everything that is available in that bill is going to start getting rolled out. And I think when that happens, you're going to find an awful lot of Missourians, to your point, who are going to say, hey, I didn't really mean for that. I didn't want that extreme to be there. I wanted something in the middle of where we were and where we are. And it sounds like the House is going to try to put an alternative in front of the voters again. Is that true?
The only way you can do it is put it back in front of the voters, right? When people say, you've got to do something about that, well, there's a few things we can actually do. We can define terms, right? What does fetal viability mean? That's the job of the legislature, and we'll do that. But to really make, you know, seismic changes, it has to go back in front of the voter.
Right.
And we have
because it's in the Constitution now.
Exactly. So we have every intention on, A, making the changes we can make, but also B, putting it back in front of the voter.
So on top of Amendment 3, what's going to be priority number 2?
I think you're going to look at us, and the governor kind of set that tone, didn't he? We talked, right? You listened to his inauguration address.
Yes.
Crime was at the top of that. And, you know, for the St. Louis County folks, for the Jefferson and St. Charles County folks, and even here in Lincoln County, the crime that takes place in St. Louis affects our constituents.
It does.
The folks that live in Lincoln County and Pike County, where I represent, have every right to go to a baseball game and all those sorts of a hockey game and not be afraid of the crime that takes place in St. Louis. And if the city's not going to take care of that, then the state has some obligation to do so.
I talked to a number of people who live out in St. Charles County that would say, you know, forget the city. I don't care anymore. I don't go down there. I don't want to deal with it anymore. But to Governor Kehoe's point, the St. Louis area is the main economic driver for the state of Missouri. And as goes the St. Louis metro area economically, so goes the state of Missouri because they control so much of that. And when you have that, what you just talked about, people saying, you know, I don't feel safe going downtown. I'm not going to go downtown anymore. When they have that attitude, they don't go downtown. They don't spend their money. And you get an awful lot of people from around the area. Like I have friends down in Jonesboro, Arkansas, that would drive up for ball games and they would spend a week in here at least once a month during baseball season. Well, if they don't feel safe, then that's economic benefits because they're staying in hotels, they're going out to eat, they're doing all these different things outside of baseball, which is driving the economy for not just St. Louis, but the state of Missouri. So I think if you have a broader picture of what does not addressing that crime to this point mean to the state of Missouri, it really has those ripple effects, doesn't it?
You can't have a series of suburbs that lead to nowhere.
Right.
Downtown St. Louis has to be viable. It has to be economically viable. It has to be a tourist destination. It just has to be that way. If the city's not going to take that responsibility, well, then the state's going to have to. So.
And do you feel like they have the votes to take state control of the police department?
I think the votes are there because the will of the voters are there, right? Jefferson City is just reflecting what Missourians want. And Missourians want a safe and economically viable St. Louis.
As you're looking at the rest of this session, obviously just getting started, when will you really start going through bills and assigning bills to committees and things like that? Has that already started, or is that a process that is in process, so to speak?
So as you know, Mike, the General Assembly meets for a two-year session, right? There's a two-year General Assembly. You have a first session and a second session. That first session always starts out a little slower because you have to get committee assignments. You have to, there has to be chairman appointments, and there has to be committee assignments. All that took place in the week that just happened. So I would think you could start to see some bills start to get referred, you know, as early as Monday.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to actually start seeing some things.
Like Monday is Martin Luther King Day, isn't it? As early as Tuesday, you'll start to see some bills get referred, I would think.
So next week is where we're going. Next week is when you're going to actually see action. I was going to ask, you guys are off on Monday, right? So you'll go and start your week on Tuesday?
That's right. I will go in on Monday evening instead of driving over Tuesday morning. But I'm going to enjoy this inauguration on Monday.
It should be a good time. Anything in particular that you're looking forward to?
You know, I saw that it's being moved indoors the first time since 1985, which once again draws another correlation between Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan. He was the last person to do one inside. But
there you go.
I understand why you would take it inside, because that Kehoe inauguration was awfully cold on on Monday.
There's a lot of stuff that happens there. You're like, oh, I ran into a lot of people at the Capitol on Monday who were going to D.C. They're either flying out tomorrow, or our friend John Wieman, who had your current position, used to have the office that you're sitting in now. He is flying up on Sunday and is going to be there for that, and then flying back on Tuesday. There's an awful lot of people from the region who are on their way.
Mm-hmm. I got an invitation, but I also have a job to do. I would love to be there, but I have a job to do in Jefferson City.
So what is the event that you're doing tonight? It's a chamber event, you said?
Tonight is the annual Troy Chamber of Commerce banquet. So I will be there this evening. Tomorrow night I've got another banquet to go to in Ellsbury. So last night was the one in Bowling Green. It's something every day.
That's the life of Speaker Pro Temp of the state of Missouri. Chad Perkins, State Representative from District 40. We appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
Thanks, man. Have a good time this weekend. Enjoy. And it's Mike Elam, who is sitting in for Mark Reardon today as we wrap up the big show. I am headed out to a fundraiser tonight, Sue. So how's my traffic looking getting back to St. Charles?
Well, are you going to take 70?
I am taking 70. My friend, St. Charles Councilman Justin Faust, has got a big fundraiser that he is doing tonight up at Mattingly. So I'm headed that direction.
Yeah, it looks fine, but it's raining. So just be careful. Ooh.
Always, you and me both. Back to St. Charles.
That's it. Get back to God's country. No offense, Sue. But, you know, I appreciate that. Hey, if you haven't heard, it's a big secret, but Monday, President Trump gets sworn in. You probably haven't heard. I know no one's talking about it.
Uh-uh.
It's been a big secret.
Not on this station.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be a little sad. I don't know if you saw that KJP, the press person for Biden, mm-hmm. over these past few years,
Who never actually answered a question.
Not at all.
Yes.
Or she would say, I've been clear on that.
Yes.
I've already answered that.
Let me make it clear.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I'm not going to.
Uh-huh.
Right. Let me be perfectly clear, mm-hmm. and as clear as mud is kind of where she would normally end up. She is done. She's gone. She is out. So President Trump has Carolyn Leavitt is the new press secretary for the Trump administration. And I think she's the youngest one ever.
Ooh.
She's like 28 years old.
Oh, my God.
But she's really sharp.
Wow. Good.
And wanted to play this cut. She was talking about, this is Donald Trump's day one plans. Maybe.
Any hope?
We are going to leave the dark doom and gloom of the Biden age, and we are going to enter the new golden age of America and putting America first. I can confirm there will be more than 100 executive actions that are taken on day one by our new commander-in-chief to fundamentally change the federal government, to secure our southern border, to unleash the might of our American energy industry, and to restore common sense policies back to the federal government here in Washington, D.C.
That's right. She said more than 100.
Wow. Mike, wow.
That's insane. You know, he may have carpal tunnel by the time he gets done with day one.
That's exciting, though, isn't it? I mean, he's this time around, he knows what he's doing. He's
yes.
surrounded himself with the best, and he's got a plan, and he knows how to do it. He is not mystified. You know, it was totally new to him when he first got there, not politics. He knows the system.
Yes.
He's got a plan.
And he's talked about it while he's been setting all this stuff up since the election happened. He's talked about, you know, when I first got the job, I didn't know Washington.
Right.
I had to learn Washington. I knew people there, but I didn't know Washington. And he's talked about that since the election. He knows Washington
and
now.
And a lot of that conversation happened on the Joe Rogan podcast
yes.
where
that's
that
right.
gave just your average Americans the opportunity to really hear that. And, you know, we've talked a decent amount about that through the past months, but just goes to show another example of how people got to understand, you know, really what he was trying to do, and Donald Trump, the person, not just the politician.
Well, and I think what Donald Trump found in his first cabinet that he put together, because he talked about that mm-hmm. in 2016, and he talked about what his cabinet was going to look like, and he was going to have a cabinet of rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I would submit to you that his first cabinet that he put together, it was a cabinet of rock stars, very powerful people. But I think the problem that he had was he had an awful lot of chiefs and not a lot of Indians. And at the end of the day, there can only be one chief. And you've got to understand that. I mean, he had our Secretary of State is the former president of ExxonMobil Oil Company, which arguably was bigger than many countries around the world. And he was used to doing his own thing. Now, he's a great guy, very smart guy. But, you know, you kind of had a lot of that happened with a number of different positions that he put people in. And I think that's why his cabinet changed so much the first time he was there. Now, he's got people who are more, I'm going to get this done because Donald Trump and I are on the same page. And I want to be the person who makes Donald Trump's vision happen. I think he has a team. And he has people who have bought into this, and they are ready to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a key difference with him. You know, what was funny is somebody was talking about the fact Kristi Noem was on today. And look, when she was doing the hearings before Congress, before the senators, and they started asking her questions like, who's going to be in charge? Is it going to be you or is it going to be this person? Is it going to be you or is it going to be that person? And it's like, you know what's funny? They didn't ask any of the men that question.
Interesting.
They didn't question any of the men, even Pete Hegseth, who they just raked over the coals. They didn't even ask him, are you going to be the guy in charge making these calls or who's going to be doing that? And she had a great answer. She said, Donald Trump's in charge. And we are going to be carrying out Donald Trump's vision, and that's how this is going to go. So I thought she did a great job. I thought everybody who has been in front of these senators has done a great job. I thought the Democrats who have asked these questions of these hearings have been idiots in a lot of the stuff that they've asked. It's been really crazy. Adam Schiff just got his hat handed to him by Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi just...
She is...
Oh. Yeah. She's a beast,
she
man.
She is, what should we say, very bright.
She is going to kick ass and take names is my thing. Although, before we get out of here, I do want to share with you our audio cut of the day. Today is a last reminder of our president who is leaving us. It's our audio cut of the day, features Mr. Joe Biden.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
So Joe is talking about drugs that are getting added to the list that we're going to negotiate on the price. And Joe has a little bit of problems with pronunciations.
I announced the next phase, the next 15 drugs subject to negotiation. Drugs that will treat cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and so much more, including Ozempic. Hard to say, but it really is an incredible drug.
It really is an incredible drug.
That's the part that makes me laugh more.
I mean, how many times have you heard an Ozempic commercial? I mean,
852.
It
sounds about right.
It's got a jingle. It has a jingle that they play. Ozempic.
And normally I would say that the president probably doesn't have a lot of time to watch TV. I have a feeling that Joe Biden watches a lot of TV.
I think he does too. He watches a whole lot of TV. It's a great reminder, as Fred Bottomer said, that is our lasting cut of the day of Joe Biden on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's been some kind of run.
We will always remember Joe and the way Joe just couldn't say anything. Hey, it's been fun hanging out with you today. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Sue, enjoy the extended weekend.
Thank you.
Ethan and I will be back here on Monday for MLK Day and for Donald Trump Day is what we're calling it. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today. Have a great weekend, everybody. On 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.